Let's open our Bibles back to Revelation chapter 7. And first, I know we had a lot of reading tonight, and I'm not going to go through all of those passages. But I think those passages are needed to be read so that we can enter in to the judgment of our God in light of that great day when the saints shall stand before Him in praise. And let me give you an introduction to this message. I have often read this Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 down through 13, 14, with great excitement in my heart. And this past week, Wednesday night, when Gabe was talking about the imminent death of our dear sister, and he would say, any minute now, we knew that it was coming. We knew that death for our dear sister was imminent. And since that time, I've looked at this passage. And these things that we read in this passage are imminent. The judgment that we read about in Revelation chapter 6, when God shall pour His wrath upon this word, is imminent. It can happen any time. Any minute, our Lord can return and call all His people from the grave and gather all His sheep from the four corners of the world, and it's over. And God's wrath will then fall upon the ungodly. And oh, what a terrible time that will be. But as I read this passage, first, again, let's look at our setting. Chapter 6, verse 17. The great day of His wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Oh, if we were to stop right there, and we thought of His holiness and His righteousness, and we said, who shall be able to stand? We would say, no one. The believer who has seen God in His holiness through His law, His righteousness, he says, holy, 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 no man can stand. But look at chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, and then again, chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, who no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne. Did we just not read in chapter 6? Who can stand? But here we read, here stands a multitude that no man can number. They stand. They stand before a holy God. They stand before He who is righteous and who hath just come in great judgment and has devoured the wicked. Yet these, they stand. And not only do they stand before the throne and before the Lamb, but they stand clothed with white robes. They are perfect. When our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He said, it is finished. And this multitude that has no number became perfect. And not only are they clothed in the perfect righteousness of our Lord, but look, and they have palms in their hands. There's peace with God. They are arrayed in white. They are arrayed in the righteousness of our God, and they have peace with God. Now, let's continue reading. beginning in verse 10. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's again read verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. And amen. In verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, unto John, who are these who are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Notice our two questions. Who are these that are arrayed in white robes? Who are these that are arrayed in righteousness, who stand before God perfect, who are faultless before our Lord? And the other question is, where did they come from? How did they get here? Where did they come from? And let's look at the reply. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And this is our text tonight. And this is what I would speak from tonight. These are they, a great multitude, a number that cannot be numbered, that came through great tribulation. Not some of them, not a part of them, but all of them. They came through great tribulation. These are they which came through great trial. They came through great suffering and great pain. They came through great stress and problems and hardships. Every single one of them. And if I was to title this message tonight, I guess it would be The Perseverance of the Saints. Every one of these, every one of God's children, every one of His elect, every one of His chosen, every single one of them in this life are appointed to tribulation. Let's look at John chapter 16 briefly. Now these are the words of our Lord to His disciples. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. You're going to have trials. You're going to have trouble. You're going to be under great duress and great stress. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you, whom the Father has given to me, you will persevere. You will in that great day when you stand before my throne. You shall be arrayed in white. You shall be one of that number. Again, I will read this, Acts 14, 22. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We must, through great suffering and great pain, great sorrow. Now, if you will, turn over to Psalm 73 with me. What is this tribulation? Do we not know that this week, our dear sister, Mary Bell, she died. Is that not great suffering? Is that not great sorrow? It is. But does not the world also suffer such things? Do they not go through such same sufferings? And I will say this, that the issues of life to a believer are greater than that to the unbeliever. There is a knowledge of God's righteousness that a believer has that is much greater than the unbeliever. You see, many of the unbelievers would simply think that they're dying and they're going to meet God, and He's going to take their good and He's going to take their bad, and He's going to balance things. And if the good outweighs the bad, then He'll accept them. And they'll die with a good conscience. And then there are many who will die having looked at their religious experience. They will look at their time of decision. They'll look at the time that they prayed the sinner's prayer, that they were baptized, that they've done many of these things. And continuously in this life, when they question their salvation, they go back to that experience. They get their satisfaction, and then they go on, and then they die, and then they meet God. But for the believer, he is ever saying, Christ alone. And his fingers are so sticky that he will so often grab on to any work that comes by, wanting something in our nature is to grab on, but our minds say, give me Christ, Christ alone. So the issues, I believe, for the believer, the issues of life, the issues of death, are greater for the believer than they are for this world. Now, what are these tribulations? And I believe that David here, Psalm 73, speaks of these so well. Beginning in verse 1, Psalm 73, verily I have cleaned my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, but as for me, my feet were almost gone and my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was wicked, I was envious of the unbeliever. For when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there is no pains, there's no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. They don't experience the trouble that I have. They don't experience the trials and pains that I have. Do their loved ones die? They do. But do they experience the pains that I experience? They do not. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And what these things teach us or show us is that not our own experience in this world, how oftentimes our own heart plagues us. This week, Hannah was sick. You know, for the world, it's an issue simply of that of a medical issue. But for the believer, it's an issue of God's purpose and grace. Certainly we go to the doctor. Certainly we seek medical help. But there's something much, much deeper. It's God's purpose. What is God's purpose in this? Why am I thus? And then let's look at Psalm 16 and 17. 76, I'm sorry. First chapter, let me get a drink. Stay at 73. Verse 16 and 17. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When he looked at all of the prosperity of the wicked, and when he's seen all of the pains of his own heart and the suffering of himself and the lack of suffering of the wicked, he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Then he said, until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord and I understood their end. I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, and I seen Revelation chapter 6. I seen God's wrath being poured out on them. And I seen their end and what their end would be. Verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou art holding me by thy right hand. Thou art continually with me. I will persevere. I will persevere. And then, secondly, not only do we have tribulation in this world, but we also have tribulation in ourselves. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. Let us read verse 21 through verse 24. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the child struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins within her womb. And what is it that she went to the Lord and said? Why am I thus? There was a great struggle in herself. Why am I thus? Is that not our own experience of faith in this life? How often do we look inside ourselves and we say, why am I thus? Is it not because that there are two men that live in us? There is a new and there is an old. And this old man is vile and wretched and wicked. But that new man in our hearts, it cries after goodness and after righteousness. And we say, why am I thus? How many times do we seek to do well and we seek to do good and we do evil? Why am I thus? Is this not a tribulation that has been appointed to all of his sheep? This tribulation of this battle, of this trial in our hearts, in ourselves, is given to God's sheep. And every single one of them, one day, is going to lay down that old man in the ground. And that new man will stand before God in righteousness and give praise for his salvation. Now, if you will, turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. I love this passage of Scripture. Read this one verse, and then I'm going to read it again. Last chapter, or last book of the Old Testament. Last page before we get to the New Testament. And I want you to hear how precious this is. Then they that feared the Lord, verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. What did they speak of? Did they not speak one to another of their tribulation? Did they not speak of their sorrows and their grief? They spoke of their need of righteousness. They spoke of Christ. Tonight, Gabe's praying, Lord, meet with us. Oh, don't let us take this for granted. This morning out there on the porch, I was talking to another believer. Oh, this is about Christ. We're so thankful for this building, but it's not about the building. Wednesday night, we sit back there, and these men, we speak one to another about Christ. And you ladies, do you not speak one to another of Christ? Is that not our issue? And do we not speak one to another of our sorrows and of our trials and of our tribulations? When we speak, and I mean this right now, when we do that, and we do that, we speak one to another about our Lord Jesus Christ. We speak one to another of our need of righteousness. We speak one to another of our lack of righteousness. See what happens. They that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And here's what he says. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day, what day is he referring to? Isn't that day we just read? In that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between them that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Have we not just read there of that very passage here in Romans where we started? And let's turn back. Revelation chapter 7. Let's again read, beginning at verse 13. And one of the elders who answered, saying unto me, Who are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. Do we not often say one to another, Oh, Lord, I wish you'd give us a good service. Boy, I need to hear something. Why do we say such things? Because we hunger. They shall hunger no more. Neither shall thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Amen.